Complete. Oh no.
That should be the opening to the show. Oh no.
Oh no.
No, it's perfect. Hi guys.
On that note.
Yeah. Welcome to the mini monologue. These are our mini episodes between our bigger themed episodes. And this is just like for fun. It's just us messing around, having a good time. And we're going to do another Flana Pitch episode today.
Riley just fell down the stairs.
If you guys want to see a really wacky setup, oh my god.
The bent neck Riley?
We need to get you a tripod. A cell phone tripod.
It's just at home, and I am my home.
Makes sense.
So right now I'm just kind of... Alright, yeah, there we go. Hopefully that doesn't happen again.
My name is Cecilia. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Riley, who just fell down the stairs, and Kelsey.
Hi, I did not fall down the stairs.
Not yet.
Oh, God. Not yet. Oh, no.
Not yet.
Both Riley and I have a potential Flana pitch. And we need to decide which one we want to do today. I guess we could say what we're thinking, and then we could decide which one we want to flesh out. Because I think Riley has seen mine. Kelsey, I'm not sure if you've seen mine.
Okay, this is good, because have you not seen it? Because I've never... seen or read mine, and that's why I'm like, I don't know if it'll work.
Wait.
I hope they know what it's about.
Wait, what is it?
What? Wait, how do you have a pitch that you don't know what it is? I don't understand.
I'll explain when the time comes.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
Okay. Should I start?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want the anticipation to build.
I tried to think, what is something that Mike Flanagan has not done yet that I personally really love as a genre. And this one was hard to flesh out because I don't know amongst the normal Flanaverse who can sing.
Mm. Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay.
I like where this is going.
I do too.
This movie musical is something I came upon when I was in college, although it did come out in 2008. And really loved it, became kind of obsessed with it. Recently, I rewatched it like a week ago, and I just thought, man, I really wish either there was a sequel to this or somebody would redo this and take all the problematic weird stuff out of it. I don't know if Riley anyways,
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Who has seen Repo the Genetic Opera?
Me, you. I was gonna tell you, get over here because you
I've
know
heard it of
it,
but I don't. Okay. So I'm relying entirely on what you're about to tell me.
So Repo the Genetic Opera is a movie musical that is set in like a sci-fi near distant future where a big medical corporation has essentially created an oligarchy over like the country. They're very vague on it, but they sell organs. The thing is, they sell them really expensive. So if you don't pay off your organs in time, the repo man will come and repossess your organs.
And this is organs like a heart and spleen and liver, not like a pipe organ from a church.
Well, I mean, I got that, but like, could it also be like limbs or?
Yeah, it could be pretty much anything. So the musical is like a rock opera that's
the music's
very
so
gory. It stars Anthony Head of like Buffy Claim, who played Giles. It also has, what's her name? Hold on, I wrote it down. It has
Alexa Vega
from Spy Kids. And the premise of the movie is that Alexa Vega's character is sick with an illness. Her mom died and passed on the illness to her. And her dad is the repo man, but she doesn't know. And he goes around and kills people and repossesses their organs. And at the same time, the head of the company is sick and he's going to die. And he's trying to decide who he wants to pass his company on to, because his three kids, one played by Paris Hilton, are brats, awful, terrible, and he doesn't want to pass them to them. And he was in love with the Alexa Vega's character's mom before Anthony Hedt's character married her. But it's like, it's crazy and it's wacky. And the music, half of the music, I think, still holds up. Like, I think it could do with a lyric change for sure with some of the songs. But it's, yeah.
I feel like...
I'm sure. It was 2008.
Yeah.
And so as someone who, like, has absolutely no experience with the original other than the way that you just described it, I feel like that could work because we saw, like, with Ouija 2, like, Mike Flanagan took the source material that was, like, needed fixing. And then made a much better version of it. So I feel like that is possible.
And I feel like in terms of like problematic media or just things that haven't aged well within the story, there are some things like that in Stephen King works that I feel like Mike has made like very small changes to, like the name of the character Barry in Dr. Sleep was a slur in the book. But stuff like that, where it's like, yeah. I'm not trying to, you know, do any kind of like virtue signaling or preaching, but like, here's how to kind of fix this so it's not fucked up.
Yeah. And to be fair, most of the problematic lyrics are said by terrible characters showing how terrible they are.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are, yeah, questionable. Also, there's a big thing with like, they've also, it's like a whole, oh my gosh, Fall of the House of Usher, there's a big thing. They've created this drug called Zydrate, which is like super addictive and people will take it for surgeries. And so now there's street Zydrate. So like that's also a part of it. And Paris Hilton's face just comes off at one point in the movie and that's fun.
Okay, Paris Hilton though, kind of an underrated scream queen because she's in, what is she in? She's in that, she's in House of Wax, she's in another horror movie. I feel like she's been pretty consistent through, like, we should give Paris Hilton more props.
Yeah, she's very fun in it.
It's a really, like, campy, fun movie. And I think the, like, kind of industrial-ish setting and what Mike did with the Fall of the House of Usher, I feel like that would just, like, those would mesh really well. Yeah, it would be fun. It would be more of that, like, rock and roll style.
Like, giallo? Is that how you, I don't know how you say it, so like...
Oh, it is kind of giallo-like with the way the gore is, but it's very, it's literally an opera. The guys who made it are like, yeah, they hardly talk. We wanted them to sing throughout the whole thing. And I'm like, interesting, what is a song, if not just a monologue, with music?
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my god, you're a genius.
So I think it really comes down to, like, who amongst the Flaniverse are singers? And I have no real inclination about who are singers.
The only person I can think of is, I know there's an episode of, some anthology show. It was a reboot of a Spielberg show, and Victoria Pedretti was on it, and she sings in the episode.
Oh.
Greg.
I don't remember the show. It's her and, like, Dylan O'Brien are in it together. It was really good.
Oh, wait.
It, like, Tales of Something.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name either.
Yeah, she's, like, he goes back in time, and she's, like, an old-timey pioneer woman who wants to sing jazz. I don't know.
So maybe... Maybe that can Carla Gugino sing? I feel like she has so many talents, I wouldn't be surprised if she could sing.
That's the thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, any of them were like, yeah, I am a trained opera singer. They're like, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense.
I know for sure that Doug Jones can sing, and I think he'd be a perfect cast for the, I don't remember what his character name is, the Zydrate Man. What's his name? The Grave Robber. He's the guy who sells, like, the street Zydrate. He has a really good song. He probably has the best song in the musical. But, yeah, just trying to think of cast is really hard because the main cast are, like, the dad and the daughter who's turning 18. You have the head of the company, Blind Mags, or Mag, who is a singer who knows,
all the dad
and the like head of the company and the opera singer, they all know each other. They were all friends. So everyone's kind of connected. So like, I was thinking like, I bet Mark Hamill can sing.
Oh, if he does voice acting,
maybe.
Whom he could, yeah.
Maybe yeah. Can
fair
can
assumption.
Can McKenna Grace sing?
Oh, she can. She's got. I don't know if like.
Oh, that's right. She has a music career now. Yeah, so she could be. She could be the.
She's not bad.
Yeah, she could be the daughter. The one.
Right.
That,
oh,
yeah,
I love that.
That would work.
It's so hard to recast Anthony Head because he's so perfect in that role, and his voice is beautiful. We can just make him recast him, and now he's the grandpa.
And then he can join the Flaniverse that way.
Oh, that would be incredible.
But yeah, I feel like this still has a pretty big like cult fan base to it.
That... And this is something that it can definitely expand. So it like Kel said, make like the original framework of it, and then do a completely different story in that world.
Have you guys seen the new season of Black Mirror?
No.
I've watched a review of the first episode, and oof.
The first episode is like, because the idea of these companies, like, I think the idea of you getting a medical procedure, and instead of it just being done, it's now a subscription for you to keep that, is not really that far away from the realm of our current life. So the idea of like, yeah, companies could come in and repossess your organs, yeah, I think is very topical.
I think, and that would have been a much clearer message than whatever that episode of Black Mirror. The episode was really good.
That first episode is really good.
Really? The one with Rashida Jones?
Yeah, no, it's really good.
I'm going to have to watch it because from what I heard, it's wacky.
I think if you try to just explain it objectively without seeing, like, the love and connection between the couple, because the premise of the first episode is that it's Jason Segel? Wait. Yeah.
No, wait. Chris O'Dowd.
Yes, Chris O'Dowd. I was like, that's not right. Yeah. And Rashida Jones. And they're married and they're, like, super in love. And then she gets sick and they tell him, like, look, we have a procedure that can save her life, but you have to pay a subscription fee. And so the whole episode is structured around him making this choice to save her, and then like what companies will continually do to get money from you. But it was really good.
Ironic that they air it on Netflix, where they're constantly doing that. I'm paying like $18 for no ads.
They make jokes about it.
Don't lower my cost.
I like the, like, when Netflix is, like, self-aware like that. Like, there was a, maybe the season before, the one with Salma Hayek, where it's, like, your life or something, like, becomes, like, a show on Netflix. And, like, I don't know. I haven't watched it since it first came out, but it was, like, you're breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
That's
it was
a Truman Show.
Yeah, it was, like, one person, like, Annie, that... Somehow Netflix owns like the rights to her life, and then Salma Hayek plays her, and then someone else plays Salma Hayek playing Annie. It's just like, it just keeps going and going and going.
Okay, well, that at least sounds funny. I'm honestly not the biggest Black Mirror fan.
The new season was really strong.
Real? All right. Okay.
I don't know who reviewed it, but maybe they didn't like it, but I really liked it.
All right, I'll give it a chance. I know we're going to watch The Ugly Stepsister tonight that just came out on Shudder. It's like a body horror female rage thing, which leads me to what I was / am going to pitch.
Yeah, pitch it.
Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend, guys. Surprise. She's over there somewhere. And one of her old dead relatives wrote this really... popular book called Rebecca, right?
Wait, what?
Oh yeah, Kels, you're an English teacher.
Yes, he's related to what's her name? Is it Daphne du Maurier?
Yeah, my girlfriend. That's her like old dead relative, right?
What? That's crazy. Yeah. I had to write an essay about that in college. Okay, continue.
About Rebecca?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, because I've never read it, but I do know.
Should read it.
Yeah, I feel like it's necessary now. Like, well, you have connections.
She's ever.
Do we do a bonus episode that's unrelated to Mike Flanagan and have a book club episode where we just talk about Rebecca?
Yes.
There's a film version too, because
Alfred Hitchcock did the original.
Yeah,
they were friends. She wrote the birds too.
She wrote. Oh,
she
okay.
wrote the short story that the birds is based on.
I did not know that, but yeah, I know. I had to do it for a British lit class, and it was like it was a class that I took in the UK, and it was like British lit and film, and so we had to read the book and then watch the movie. So I am very familiar with Rebecca. So what? That's crazy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that was my pitch. Was hey. They've made a couple versions of this, but what if they made it with female rage body horror, like a Swallow, I feel like is a good movie that it could be similar to, or like Invisible Man, but more like, I want more body horror, like I want her literally turning into another woman, or like being like Tusk kind of fucked up stuff.
Like the new Invisible Man?
Yeah, the Elizabeth Moss, that one.
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. I've only seen, like, the classic, and then there was, like, a really corny 90s.
Oh, I don't know about that one. No, the only one I've seen is the one that Elizabeth Moss was in a couple years ago. But that was my thought, was like, okay, I know that this character, Mrs. Danvers, is, like, a creepy, weird kind of housekeeper lady. Throw Carla Gugino in there. You've got to, make the husband guy some kind of weird tech billionaire, and you could throw, like, who's weird, eccentric guy? Hamish Linklater. Make him do that.
Yeah.
He could be, like, the same kind of vibe as, like, Oscar Isaac was in Ex Machina. Like, a weird, quirky, eccentric guy.
I feel like Rahul could do that, too.
Rahul was my first thought too, and then I was like, I don't know, because I also want to cast the new wife, I don't know her name because I've never read this, but as Victoria Pedretti, and then I was like,
yeah,
I don't, because then I'm trying to like match those two actors together.
I feel like it could work, but I definitely get, yeah, like in retrospect, I feel like I got Rebecca vibes from Nell, so that would
hey
work.
Honey,
yeah,
come here.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought too, is like Victoria Petretti as,
well,
like,
no,
the,
you can stand out of frame,
the wife,
but
who
I
is
want
no longer
to read them the text that you just sent to me from over there.
Who wants to explain what Rebecca is for those who have not read it or watched it? Who can explain it, give a summary of it?
Hey, honey, have you read Rebecca?
So, I mean, I don't know if my memory is accurate. So let me
wrote this book about real fast. Because
it's mostly just a woman marries. She gets married to a man and moves in with him, and he had been married before to a woman named Rebecca, who seems like she had been the perfect woman. And then the movie is about her dealing with that relationship. And
you don't have to be
comparison.
I just remember, like, it kind of gave me Jane Eyre vibes, and like I remember there being like kind of like gaslighting, and it's like they're trying to make the new wife feel like crazy almost, like when weird things happen, like, no, that's not weird or something, like it's all in your head.
Jane Eyre is a great thing to compare it to, because it's like this underlying mystery that the like your main character is trying to figure it out. As someone who, I don't even know if I've actually seen Rebecca, I've seen like other people analyzing it, but I haven't read it and I haven't seen it.
I just remember the cinematography being really, like, there's one shot that my professor kept going on and on about the, like, there's like a shadow cast from like this window, and it's like this really massive shadow, and like it hits her and it looks like it's swallowing her up. And he kept emphasizing like it's like this little tiny woman in like this big house, and she has to like prove that she like is like not losing her sanity, that she is experiencing things the way that she is. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of the Yellow Wallpaper too. Are you guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
That's what kind of led me to it, because I was thinking of just those kind of like the movie Gaslight or the Yellow Wallpaper, like something like that. But I guess I just wanted a version of that with more actual physical body horror, because the psychological, like, I feel like that part of the movie has been done to death, or like movies like it. So it'd be nice to have something, especially with how popular The Substance just was. Would be nice to kind of figure out a way to combine those two. Also, I would like to point out, Julia, my girlfriend, was in the other room, text me, Mike should do an adaptation of one of Daphne's stories. Did not know I was talking about this. That is why I called her over and was like, hey,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about right now. She was getting in the shower, so she could not hang out and talk, but...
So what we're saying is that the next Haunting series is going to be all with Daphne's work.
I mean, I know that Julia emails with Daphne's son, who is still living. So you never know. He's in his 90s, so might want to get on that fast.
So before the fall, like many, many years before, well, not many, many years, but, you know, years before the fall of the House of Usher was announced, I remember, I think this was like around the time that Bly came out, and I was like, Dupo, like on Twitter. And, I'm not on Twitter X or whatever anymore, but I remember when it Fall of the House of Usher was announced, I was like, yes, I predicted this. So I'm gonna say it right now and just put it onto the universe and pretend that, even though I have no control over this, pretend that that will happen now.
We can manifest.
What? You're manifesting.
A good, like, because Poe, all of his works are in the public domain now, so like getting the rights wouldn't have been an issue. But
Haunting of Hill House isn't in public domain though, is
no,
it?
No, so he probably, because I think that would have been the 60s. I think right now it's like 1920.
It's 25, think it's like
it's 100 years before. I think.
Okay. I thought it was 90, because Wizard of Oz is public domain.
Yeah, oh. Wizard of Oz, the book is public domain, but not
the movie. Yeah. But we're getting close to when the movie will be public domain, because that was in the 1930s.
Let's see.
I think Rebecca was 39.
Published before 1930 are in the public domain.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so we're getting close to, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know. What year was Rebecca published?
39, I think.
So, I mean, if Mike Flanagan needs an in for the rights.
I don't know if rights are necessarily an issue, though, because, I mean, Christopher Pike, that was like, what, the early 90s, late 80s? And so that's obviously not in the public domain. Yeah.
But it could have been something where, like, he probably got permission from Christopher. I don't know. Is Christopher Pike deceased?
Okay. He probably got the rights from
Christopher Pike and their lawyers. Probably gave him the rights.
Maybe Julia could give the rights too.
That's what I'm wondering. I'm like, what exactly would she need to prove that, other than her like little family ancestry log that she did to figure this out?
Does she have the same last name?
Yeah, she has the same last name.
I have the same last name on the family tree. There you go.
Yeah, I wonder.
Maybe it could work. There's not a lot of them.
In theory, I would assume it would be the son has the rights currently, because usually only one person can have the rights, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the spouse,
there's an estate,
and then the children, and then the estate. Yeah, so I don't know if she had a spouse or, Because, like, I know with Dr. Seuss, it was his wife, because when Universal was getting the rights for Islands of Adventure, it was the wife.
Yeah, I wonder how that would work. I'll have to look into it if her and I, because Julia loves body horror shit. I feel like, Mike, hire her to help you and Kate write this movie.
Yeah, it's a winning team. Figure out who the owner of the rights is right now.
Well, I feel like this is also very much a, you know, I'm not going to actually do that.
My legal conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Mike is listening and he's like, that's an idea. Okay. I mean, not like he has like 5 million things going on right now, but you know,
put it on
the list.
It's fine. I'll text him. I'll text random numbers until I figure out which one is his.
Don't do that.
No, it's my hobby. It's fun. It's fine. No. It's how I make all my friends.
No, last night, Eric and I watched that catfishing documentary, The Sweet Bobby or whatever. And no.
What's that?
I don't know. We don't have enough time in this podcast to get into that story.
What's it called? I'll watch it.
It's called, it's like, it's either My Sweet Bobby or Sweet Bobby. And it's like a catfishing thing.
Okay, I love it. I'm gonna watch it. I love a fucked up.
So don't text random numbers. No.
Fine. Yeah, I didn't like when people were texting the like one digit lower or higher than yours. Like people were getting annoyed.
But it can cute stuff can happen, like that lady that ended up inviting that kid to Thanksgiving and now they have Thanksgiving together every year. That one's cute.
Yeah, that one's cute. People aren't as nice anymore. Anyway, so that was my idea.
I think those are our pitches.
I think, Kels, what do you think? Who wins?
I don't know if, I mean, the, I think
I
the
feel
winner.
Like that's unfair because you're the winner, very familiar with one and not at all together.
I think if we're talking about logistically, which one would be easier, not to go back into the legalese, I feel like getting the rights to Daphne's works, unless they're already owned by somebody, would be much easier than getting the rights from the repo guys.
Yes.
I think the winner is the friends we made along the way. I've always wanted to say that.
Oh, I love that. You guys are two of my best friends. That's great.
Okay. I think that's where this little mini episode ends. So come back next week for the main episode.
My background doesn't do fireworks. Riley's isn't doing it either.
It doesn't do it now.
Bye.
Bye.